Dude, we get this question all the time. Which pickup truck is best for me? Is it small, medium, or large?
Yeah, that's true. We get a lot of emails. People say, I've got this particular trailer. This is what I tow. Should I get a full size? Should I get a heavy duty? Or what? And we actually have three trucks here at our ranch.
Yeah.
Midsize, full size, and heavy duty, all from General Motors that we can compare.
Exactly. We have a GMC Canyon 84X. Let's pretend it's a Chevy Colorado, maybe.
Yeah, because the other two are Silverados.
Exactly. So we have a Silverado 1500 and a Silverado heavy duty 2500 diesel. So we can, in this podcast, we can actually kind of show what's available, talk about pricing, capability. We can talk about all that stuff, right?
That's true. We can talk about engine options, some of the pros and cons. We're also going to measure the beds out back. So this should give us a good idea of which truck is going to make sense for which buyers.
Exactly. And maybe at the end, we can talk a little bit about ourselves too.
Yeah,
because I'm looking to switch trucks.
That's true. You are shopping around.
Yeah, and I'm still on the fence. You kept talking me into a heavy duty truck last time, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
as I am one to
do. So I'm still on the fence. So we can talk about that too.
But we'll start out with our GMC Canyon. This is a long-term truck, one that we bought as a company, and we've been testing a ton. And I gotta say, these Canyons, the AT4X or a Colorado ZR2, they're really good off-road trucks, especially as rock crawlers.
Exactly, and the wheelbase is approximately like 131 inches or so. These are crew cabs, right? With shorter beds, about 5 footer. And we'll measure the bed in a second. But I'm talking about the wheelbase because you want to be maneuverable, right? Mm-hmm. And for off-road specifically, and also when you talk about garage space, I sound like a broken record because we've talked about this before, but modern garages are about 19 feet long. So big trucks don't fit in garages anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Most modern HD trucks wouldn't fit in my garage, and I think I've got a decent sized garage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little tough, but this, to your point, is easier to park. It's easier to daily drive. As we'll see in a little bit, it is a little more cramped on the inside, or a lot more cramped. But one thing that's interesting with this generation of the Colorado and the Canyon in particular is that there's not as many engine options as there used to be.
No, in fact, there's only one, at least here in the Canyon, right?
It's got a cool name.
Turbo Max!
Yeah.
Yes, they got the marketing back into this engine. So remember, not long ago, like I'm talking about 5 or 6 years ago in the previous generation, they had like three engine options, right?
Yeah.
There was a base four-cylinder gas, there was a V6, there was a diesel option underneath the hood of this.
And the diesel was a cool option for a lot of people. I think it's one that a lot of people liked, but what GM would tell you is that this 2.7 liter four-cylinder has more torque than that old diesel had. And that is true. This is a very torquey power plant for what it is. 310 horsepower, 430 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And it has that kind of diesel-y characteristic, right? You can kind of feel it. So we've done several videos where we drag race these trucks, we tow with them, right? So it has that low-end punch. And 310 horsepower is actually a pretty good number for a smaller pickup truck like this.
It is. It's definitely nowhere near the most amount of horsepower you can get from the factory in a midsize truck because, you know, there's other things like Ranger Raptor out there,
yeah,
which is not priced that far off of this. And you can get, well, we had a factory tune on ours that got us 455 horsepower,
ooh,
536 pound-feet torque, which is ridiculous in a midsize truck.
Yeah.
But this is perfectly adequate, especially if you're just driving around day to day. It's got plenty of power for that. If you're pulling a small trailer, no problem. And if you're rock crawling, you really don't need 400 or 500 horsepower.
Exactly. And speaking of rock crawling, let's direct our attention a little bit more to the suspension system, right? And the shocks and the tires. And this 84X has three locking differentials. The center is the transfer case, right? And then front and rear locking differentials as well, which is pretty crazy and very capable.
Yeah, you've got a lot of capability out of the box, even just with a standard AT4X. The AEV edition trucks are a lot more expensive. It's quite a bit of money that you pay for, admittedly, some really nice components, bumpers and underbody protection.
Larger tires. Yeah.
Yeah, that full-size spare that lives in the bed. And that's pretty cool, but this truck out of the box is a really good crawler.
And I've got my measuring tape here, so if you're watching us, thank you very much. Supposedly this is about a 33, but in reality things are usually smaller, right?
32 and a half.
Yeah, you can kind of see here because there is some weight on this truck, right? And it's kind of squishing the tires down. So but these tires, dude, I've been so happy. I don't know about you, but we've had the Territory MTs on several different vehicles, you know, even like the Ford Bronco. A lot of them have similar tread patterns, mm-hmm. even though the tire capability may be different because the weight ratings are different and construction can be a little bit different. But the Wrangler Territory tires have been super great in my opinion.
Absolutely, yeah. This truck has been a killer off-road, but not everybody is interested in going off-road. Not all of the canyons and Colorados are off-road trims. And it's worth still talking about what makes this useful as a truck. And one of the important things that we have to look at is bed size.
Exactly. And also not just length, right? Because this should be 5 feet based on specs. Oh, look,
yeah, it's
a little bit
over. About 62 inches.
So on the floor, it's about, yeah, you're right, it's about 62. But also between the wheel wells, can you help me?
Yeah, this is gonna be an interesting.
Hold on. Let me walk around this way.
A little bit of maneuvering.
Because it needs to be 4 feet, like if you go to Home Depot, and it's not. It's about 45 inches, right? So 48 inches is kind of where that sheet of plywood would be.
Yeah, so there are perks to having a narrow truck. There are good things about that in terms of, like you said, maneuverability. But as far as hauling things around in the bed, there's going to be a bit of limitation there. Although I do appreciate that we've got a reasonable amount of tie downs here in the bed. It's two in each corner from the factory. Of course, you could add some extra if you needed to. And we do have a little bit of power in the corner there as well.
Exactly. So we have a plug, which I think every new pickup should have, right?
Yeah.
If you're charging tools, maybe you're camping, maybe you have some lights that you're powering. I think most pickups, even work trucks, I'm not even talking about fancy ones, need to have it. But Case, I want to talk, we don't talk about this very often. There's a little bit, Cole, check this out. There's on the side of the tailgate, there is a little
metal
channel, and you can put the tailgate cable through it. So you can carry your tailgate in kind of a halfway open position.
Yeah, so you could stack plywood over this. It would hang out quite a ways, but
yeah.
It so, potentially helps.
Exactly. You could stack it here and it will go over the wheel wells kind of in the bed.
But what's crazy is even on this mid-sized truck, the bed rails come up almost to my chin. So the GMC Canyon, granted, this is an off-road model. It sits a little bit taller than some other models, but all of them sit a little taller here in the bed than you would expect for a mid-sized truck.
Yeah. So if you're really worried about that, at least in General Motors lineup, right? You would get kind of a more base two-wheel drive or 4x4 vehicle.
But I'm not sure that they're significantly better.
Not by much. And there's also a little, this tailgate is a little bit fancy because it's got a little storage compartment here. I think we've showed it a couple times.
Yeah.
So it's big enough for jumper cables, ropes, tie downs, that type of stuff.
Yeah, which is a pretty useful thing. Now, Andre, tell me a little bit about towing here on the Canyon.
So when you're buying a midsize truck, usually towing numbers vary by trim level quite a lot. So because this is an off-roader, 6,000 pounds, because of like the way the front is configured for cooling, the way the suspension is configured for off-roading, we have our D-ring here right now. But 6,000 pounds is the rating for this. If you had a regular 4x4 Canyon or Colorado, the rating would be around 7,700 pounds for maximum towing. So there's actually quite a lot of variance there.
Yeah, so you can get a decent towing figure even in a mid-sized truck these days. 7,700 back in the day for even a full-size would have been a pretty decent number.
Exactly.
If you go back far enough.
And with this engine, remember I used to own a 2023 Colorado Trail Boss, and we used, you and I pulled, I think 7,000 pounds with my truck.
Yeah.
And it actually did pretty well with this engine.
Because again, so, like we said, a lot of torque.
Lots of torque. What about payload though?
Yeah, let's check it out. So once again, this is an off-road model. So it's not necessarily going to be representative of every midsize truck from GM, but on our truck, it's 1,275 pounds. So, you know, it's over 1,000.
Exactly, which is good.
Yeah, for a midsize truck, I'm pretty happy with that.
And but remember our the Maverick that we had?
Yeah.
Which wasn't like a Tremor off-road model. That had about 1,400 to 1,500 pounds of payload. And you could get some of these mid-sized trucks, like the Canyon Colorado, with that higher number too.
Yeah.
But because this is a kind of a lot, really optioned vehicle, the payload comes down.
And to that point, discussing options,
ooh,
this is definitely the nicest interior of any of the three trucks that we're gonna look at today, because you're looking at a smaller truck, a little more compact, for the same money or similar, you would be able to get more features, a nicer interior. I really like the seats on the AT4X, multicolor, white, red, and black. And in general, you know, red stitching on the wheel, some white accents on the dash, some red around the vents. AT4Xs have a pretty cool interior.
Yeah, maybe we should jump in. Let me close the hood.
It's got red seat belts, Andre.
I know, it's like a Corvette, dude.
Yeah, so on the inside, I think that it feels reasonably special, which is pretty nice. Because some of the other trucks that we're going to look at, I would not say that they feel particularly special on the inside.
You hear that growl?
Yeah.
It's not a little bit of a growl, not much.
It makes some noise. Now, definitely, we are sitting shoulder to shoulder, pretty close on the inside
elbows,
of this truck.
You know, we're friends, so this is okay, but if we weren't friends?
If we didn't like each other, this would be a bad truck for us to be in.
Anyways, and our producer, videographer Cole, you know, he's a little bit crammed in the back seat. I mean, this back seat is not humongous.
No.
And that's on purpose, right? This is supposed to be a smaller vehicle.
So I like the way that a lot of this interior is equipped. We've got heated and ventilated seats. We've got a heated steering wheel and nice materials, like I said. But there are a few things that we've talked about several times with the Colorado and the Canyon that is not our favorite. For one, they kind of cheaped out. And the headlight switch is built into the screen,
yes.
So you don't have a physical control for that. The other thing that I find a little odd is that...
Drive and park?
Your traction control is also a switch built into the screen, and you have to go through a few menus to get to it. So I don't love that they have cheaped out and left out some of those switches that I would just prefer to have as actual physical controls. But I do like that all of our climate, those are physical controls as well as our lockers.
Yeah, and remember on our Ranger Raptor that we used to own, the locker differential buttons were digital buttons.
Yeah, those were in the screen. So I like that we've got real buttons for that.
Yeah, and it's cool. And I think this is an artifact. So this new generation of their midsize truck came out in 2023. So with that came kind of the new generation of their like electronic system behind the scenes. Right, and I think that's an artifact, a lot of these screens, and it's actually different in the bigger trucks.
We'll
be able to see that.
Yeah, so there's some pros, some cons. We've got our four-wheel drive controls here in the center. Of course, this being an off-road truck, we've not only got two high, four low, we've also got four auto, which is pretty nice. There's several different driving modes for this truck, so it really gives you essentially everything you would need for a truck you're going to be daily driving in, potentially.
And the very traditional console shifter here for the 8-speed automatic. And, you know, originally people were worried when we first showed these trucks that, like, my jeans would rub off, you know, that
on
this
some
white...
white accents?
Yeah, the white accents would be blue. But actually, after how many miles do we have in this truck? Almost, what, 5,400 miles?
It's not too bad. We have a couple marks here
where
you
bit
pull
marked
on the driver door to close it. So yeah, you can see a few spots, I think, with a detail that would clean right up. So overall, the interior on this AT4X, even though there's a lot of white in it, I actually think it's aging pretty well.
And it's pretty durable, I think.
Yeah.
I wanted to point, before we move on, a couple more things. I really like the air down mode. Mm-hmm. I've used it a couple times, where basically you can set the tire pressure, and when you're letting the air out, it'll beep its horn, basically. And also, if we can go back, let's see. How do I get out of this? Off-road modes. This has a lot of graphics, really cool, where it shows you kind of what's going on with your tire pressures, elevation, and all that stuff.
Yeah, so all of that is pretty neat stuff. And I think that for the money, this truck is pretty well equipped and pretty nice.
Which is about, what, 57 was the sticker price, 57,000. Oh, actually, hold on. Let me show this, the window sticker. Since we have it here, the sticker price was $57.5.
Yeah.
And usually it's hard to get discounts on trucks like this because there are not many of them. And if you really want this one, the dealer kind of knows that you really want something like this. So it's hard to get huge discounts on trucks like this.
Our Canyon is bright orange, so it might be a little easier to get a deal on one of these because it's a controversial color. I know Cole behind the camera is not a fan.
I'm not a huge fan, but our boss Roman really loves this color.
And it is unique.
Yeah.
I will give it that. Compared to the other two trucks that we've got, which are just silver, it seems like all of the trucks that we get all the time are gray, silver, black, white.
Yeah, that seems to be the most common color. I was just at another local dealership, and most of their trucks are either gray, white, or black, or silver.
Yeah.
So
funny enough, so our GMC Canyon that we as a company own was about $57,000.
Yes.
The Chevy Silverado that we're looking at is actually a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, the sticker price on this one, after factory incentives, not dealership deals, factory, $54,000 for this Silverado 1500.
So this one is a little bit more base. It's got the same 2.7 liter Turbo Max, so under the hood and horsepower and even transmission, all of that's actually the same. This particular truck, though, is the only one here that's not an off-road model.
Exactly, but it's got, funny enough, we'll show the tires in a second, right? It's funny enough, it's got kind of an all-terrain tire on a not an off-road model of truck.
Yeah, because one of the biggest caveats, one of the biggest drawbacks with this truck, the way that it sits, is that it doesn't have a low range. So it's a 2.7, same 310 horsepower, 430 pound-feet torque, 8-speed transmission, and it is four-wheel drive, but no low range.
Exactly. So this is, GM has been doing it for a while now, actually with this generation, this T1 generation of the 1500 truck, and I think, well, it's so one way where they can cut some cost out of the truck and maybe hopefully pass it on to the customer, right? The driver.
Yeah.
But it's kind of strange not having four low, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. To me, that is pretty odd, and that would take this truck off of the list for me. Even if I'm not planning to go to Moab and do Hell's Revenge with my pickup truck, I want it to have low range. It's another tool in your toolkit that could be useful in a whole host of different situations. So I think it's a little bit of a bummer, or a lot of a bummer, that this truck doesn't have it.
Actually, do you want to show that knob? It's right on the left of the steering wheel.
Yeah, it's going to be easier to see
from
before we actually get into the truck. Assuming you're actually watching this podcast, not listening to it. I apologize. So two high, four high, in an auto mode, there is no four low on this truck. But we do have physical headlight controls.
See?
Which is nice.
Yeah. I wish they would add that physical light control back to the Canyon or back to the Colorado.
But we'll talk more about interior features in a second.
Yeah, let's look at kind of this truck from the profile a little bit, because we need to see, kind of get an impression of it. It's actually not much taller, or maybe even shorter than the Canyon, right?
That's true. The hoods are similar heights. Once again, this Silverado 1500 is not an off-road model, even though, to your point, it's a Goodyear Wrangler tire. It's not super aggressive, but it is a bit of an all-terrain, kind of a mild all-terrain.
Yeah.
The particular model of this truck is an RST, isn't it?
Exactly. An RST is usually a little bit more sporty, street-oriented version, right?
Yeah, so we do have running boards. So, clearly it's not trying to be an off-road truck at all.
No.
And if we move around to the back end, we can measure the bed here as well.
Oh, I have a spare tire in here for our trailer, dude.
We've got some props.
See, we use our trucks.
Exactly. That's the job.
Okay, so lengthwise, this is not their longest bed option. This is kind of their standard. They call it standard. Sorry, Cole. It's about 70 inches. So just 2 inches short of 6 feet.
Yeah.
Which is actually longer than most competitors. Like if we were looking at an F-150 or a Ram, those are usually 5.5 feet.
So yeah.
This is several inches longer than that.
And it's considerably longer than the bed that you get in the Canyon. So if you're shopping between the two trucks and the size of the bed is important to you, obviously the Silverado is going to be a much better option.
And it's about 50 inches, a little bit more than that, between the wheel wells.
Yeah, so before we were, 2 inches short of 4 feet between the wheel wells on the Canyon.
Yes.
The Silverado 1500 is 2 inches beyond 4 feet between the wheel wells.
Yeah, which is kind of a game changer. And with the tailgate down, the 8-foot sheet of plywood would not hang too far off the tailgate. So
yeah, exactly.
It's pretty capable that way.
Other thing that I like a lot, straight from the factory, 3 tie downs in each corner of this truck. GM does a really good job of giving you a lot of points that you can link up to from the factory to tie down whatever it is that you might be hauling around in the bed of your truck. That is a really nice thing. I wish more manufacturers would take notice and do the same thing.
I think so. And also they offer a lot of volume. So if you look at the sides of the bed, they're very pushed all the way to the kind of the outside of the bed. So if you're carrying, I don't know, gravel or something in here, you can also carry a lot of volume of stuff as well.
And then tell me about the towing figure on the 1500.
Yeah, and we also have to talk about engine options while we talk about towing, because that varies a lot.
That's true.
Right, for this truck. It also has a 2-inch receiver, basically the 2-inch right here. Only the bigger trucks will show next. The heavy duties have kind of a larger
2.5
receiver. This truck with this engine, so we talked about the Canyon at 6,000 pounds. This 1500 RST with the same engine, the Turbomax, is 9,000 pounds.
Which is a lot of trailer to put behind that 2.7. Yeah.
Yes. And you and I did something close to that, right? We recently did an iGauntlet World's Toughest Towing Test where we pulled about 8,000 pounds with this truck. And it actually had enough power, but the issue is how do you slow down that weight, right?
Yeah, it struggled a little bit on the downhill, and you can watch that video if you want to see in detail how this 2.7 did hauling around a trailer near its limit.
Yeah.
But I would say if you're towing consistently, there's definitely better powertrain options for a 1500. I, and I think you as well, both love the 3-liter Duramax because that's going to get you great torque. It's what, 460 pound-feet of torque?
Actually, they upped it. I think it's 495, almost 500 pound-feet of torque on the latest Duramax, and what, just around 300 horsepower, like 305. So that engine, actually they have a max tow package on that engine, which offers like a more aggressive rear axle ratio.
Yep.
This is a 342 to one. They offer a 373 to one.
Yep.
And you can get up to 13,000 pounds, even though that 3-liter might struggle.
13 is a lot.
And actually, if you're pulling 13,000, you gotta go to a heavy duty probably.
That's what we would recommend.
Yeah.
Always in general, if you're pulling a trailer, and especially if you're going to go cross country through the mountains, and places like where we have to pull trailers a lot of the time, then we don't recommend towing near the limit of what your truck is capable of pulling, because they just, at that point, don't handle it that well. So 13 behind a 1500 of any kind is a lot. But
even
that
though
it's
technically rated for that, right?
Yeah, yeah, but that 3-liter Duramax is impressive and good fuel economy.
Yeah, massive. So if you drive long miles, lots of miles, I don't know, like 15,000, 20,000, 30,000 miles a year, the Duramax will be a very nice engine. We have a bee here that's been our guest star.
Yeah. Well, we also have bees here at Tumbleweed, and they make some honey.
We don't
sell it. Maybe we should.
Well, we don't have a lot of them, so they don't produce tremendous amounts of honey.
We just got to raise prices. That's economics.
Exactly. But it is also February.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit worried why this bee came
out. Why he's hanging out in February.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about bees to be as concerned as you are. But
well, this is not a bee podcast, is it?
But perhaps he's just interested in Silverado 1500 powertrains.
Oh, his friend is coming too.
Which,
we have multiple bees.
And his friend's moving toward the front of the truck. We can talk about the V8s.
Yeah, the V8s. They're still offering two V8 options.
Yeah, so 5.3 and a 6.2. Obviously, yes. The 6.2 is the more powerful option, but there's been issues with the 6.2 that are widely reported on. I think most everybody knows about that at this point.
Yeah.
It does seem like in the next couple years, we're probably, the rumor is anyway, we're going to see a few new V8s, a 5.7.
Yes.
And a 6.6, right?
So General Motors CEO Mary Barra recently had a meeting with some media, and she actually dropped a line, and she said that the next generation of Silverado and Sierra 1500 trucks will be shown this year.
Yeah.
She didn't say like what month or what week that was going to be. She didn't say a lot of details around it, but we know the next generation of this truck is near, maybe several months away. We're not sure. But there's also that rumor about the new V8s that you're talking about too.
Exactly. So there's probably going to be some changes upcoming for that. But for the time being, yeah, the 5.3 and the 6.2. The 6.2 is granted a little bit of a roll of the dice. So depends if you really want the extra power. I think the 5.3 is a good middle of the road option. But if I were building out my own dream GM full-size truck,
okay,
I would be going 3-liter Duramax.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, you have a commuter car that you could take around town. But if you want to do that long trip, go skiing or do something else, right?
That'd be perfect for that.
The 3-liter, I agree with you.
There's another issue with this 2.7.
What?
Fuel tank.
Ooh, actually, that's an issue with all of these half tons.
Yeah.
Because it's 24 gallons when you pick, you know, the crew cab, you know, the larger cab like this. And if you don't, if you go for a two-door, which not many people do,
no,
that's a 28-gallon tank. And competitors have way larger tanks.
Yeah,
than that.
By 10 gallons.
But the Duramax can alleviate that problem, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so the Duramax would be your best option for range as well. Yeah, it's kind of a small tank. It's maybe a little better if you have the 2.7. We got 23 miles per gallon in this truck on the highway.
Yeah, right? You and Roman did a video, which I haven't watched yet, but you gave me a couple hints about it, and I remember that 23 number, because it was more than the EPA, right?
Yeah.
The EPA actually doesn't rate this TurboMax gasoline turbo as highly as the numbers you saw.
Yeah, exactly. So in the real world, we actually got some really good fuel economy figures on this truck, better than what we got on the Canyon. So if you're shopping between these two, and maybe you're shopping around for a Canyon because it's going to get better fuel economy, if it's not on off-road tires, then it will probably almost certainly do better than our Canyon. But even a more street-focused version of the GMC Canyon, I'm not sure it's actually going to be significantly better than the 2.7 on this. Probably a good bit better than the V8s.
Yeah, and I think it's aerodynamics is a big part of that, and also tires, like you said. Because if I use my handy tape measure, it's kind of difficult to show, but the kind of the middle of the bumper here, it doesn't have a chin spoiler because it doesn't need it for off-roading.
Yeah.
That's about 20 inches or so. And if you look here on the Silverado versus that off-road Canyon, the chin spoiler is like 10 and a half inches.
Yeah.
So it's very much lower. So aerodynamics play a big-ish part of that, and also how aggressive the tires are.
Yeah.
As far as rolling resistance.
But I would wager of any of these three, if fuel economy was your main concern, I would get a more street-focused 1500 with the Duramax, 3-liter Duramax.
Oh, yeah. That's king.
Yeah.
Because, remember, we talked about this in previous episode, I think, where I was really, like, pumped up about the F-150 hybrid, right? How we got really good efficiency with it, remember, during our testing in December. But the 3-liter Duramax is still king of highway efficiency as far as, these full-size trucks are concerned.
And GM is the only one of the big three that hasn't given up on smaller diesels.
Exactly.
So if you want a diesel in a truck of this size, it's just GM.
And it also sounds like, this is once again not official, but it sounds like the next generation of this will maintain the diesel option.
Which is good news.
Which, once again, this is not official. This is just everything that we're hearing unofficially from that, which I think is a big deal. But what do you think about hybrids? Can I ask you about that first? Do you think GM should go hybrid with this next generation?
I think there's enough people doing the hybrid thing. I think I think GM should stick to V8s and diesels. I like it. Someone's got to, right?
Well, you have to have that unique thing you're doing, right?
And that's what they're doing.
Okay. Well, let's jump in here.
Yeah, and as we jump in, I can tell you as well that this Silverado 1500, especially because it's more basic, has about 1,791 pounds of payload.
Do you want to show that? Here's the camera.
Exactly. So 1,791 pounds of payload, also a pretty good number. And again, that's partly because this truck is fairly basic. So we've got cloth seats. We've actually got a bench up here, Andre.
Yeah, it's got this folding center console, which turns into a seat. Not for long trips.
No, it wouldn't be.
But for very short trips, it's pretty useful.
Exactly. In a pinch, it gives you that extra space that you might need so that somebody doesn't have to ride on the roof or in the bed.
Yes, and I think we do have a key in here, so that's good.
Yeah. Now, once again, physical climate controls. This truck, even though it is cloth seats, it's a bit more basic. Still heated seats, no ventilated seats. Heated steering wheel. So we've got a lot of pretty nice comfort.
A wrapped steering wheel
features.
Too.
Yeah, it's not a plasticky wheel. Yeah. So some of your touch points are done pretty well. But overall, it's a fairly plasticky interior.
Yeah, and it's kind of monotone. There's a little bit of a shiny kind of a trim piece on the dashboard.
And a wood-like piece of trim.
I would say faux wood.
Yes.
Yes. Very shiny piece. But anyway, I wish, like in that canyon, that was so like contrast and fun. The same thing can't really be said about this interior.
No, but I like that we've got a column shifter.
Boom.
For the transmission.
Yes.
It's very trucky, something that I think everybody likes. We don't love the rotary dials and everything. I'm glad that it doesn't really seem like GM has fallen victim to that too badly. So yeah that's all nice. Trailer brake controller right there. Accessible. Yeah.
On their midsize trucks, the trailer brake controller is usually on the left by your left knee.
Yeah.
But here in the full sizers.
I like having it in the center. I just think that's a more intuitive place to put it.
And most people are usually right-handed. Mm-hmm. I'm not discriminating against left-handed people.
I wouldn't have suggested that you were.
Okay, never mind. But a lot of people prefer it in the center here.
Yeah.
As far as the brake controller. The screen is very similar, actually, in size to the Canyon.
Yeah, and obviously the operating system as well, although, like we said, there's not as many controls that are integrated in the screen. You've still got your regular headlight control. You still have a traction control switch. All of that stuff is given real physical buttons, which is nice.
But remember, I was kind of complaining about this during RI Gauntlet. Usually GM has very good trailer management software in their screens where you can kind of remember which trailers you have, but they kind of skipped over that in this RST version of it, which is kind of odd.
And again, that's partly because of the specific truck we're in. It's not necessarily representative of
every Silverado. They have it in other 1500s.
Silverado.
Yeah.
Same thing as far as cameras go. We don't have a whole lot of different camera views.
Just the rear camera, yeah.
But a lot of GM trucks give you tons.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the window sticker. It's just a piece of paper in this case. This is what I was talking about on efficiency. You saw about 23 in the real world on the highway, and this is rated at 20. And I think there's another reason for this is because the EPA and the manufacturer, they have to average things out, you know, over like every trim with that engine.
Mm-hmm.
So in the real world, this truck has been much better. And the price here, I don't know, it's kind of hard to see, but it's $54,005.
Which, in this day and age, is a low-priced pickup truck.
Yeah, and by the way, the midsizers for GM are built in Wentzville, Missouri. These trucks have several different factories kind of spread out across North America. This one is in Indiana, so this truck was built in the USA as well.
Yeah.
So it just depends. It just depends on where, which plant, which truck comes from, basically.
Yeah, so overall, the 1500 can be spec'd a lot of different ways. I think it's a good, usable interior that we have on this particular truck. If you want to get a really nice interior on a 1500, obviously you can. When we were doing some truck of the year testing at the end of last year, we had a GMC Denali Ultimate.
Yes.
That was covered in beautiful brown leather.
And real textured wood.
Yeah, actual wood. It was a really nice truck inside. Super Cruise.
Yeah.
All kinds of really cool features.
Yeah.
This one is more basic. There's kind of the full spectrum there. And like we said, really quite a few different engine options. So one of the perks with a 1500 is that they can be spec'd out a lot of different ways.
And you could still get, believe it or not, that two-door, eight-foot bed.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for a work truck just to haul a bunch of, I don't know, material and just help you with your job, those trucks are still available. Those trucks are actually fairly affordable to begin with. And they usually come with this engine because this is their base engine. The 2.7 Turbo Max is usually the base engine in that truck. So.
And it also goes without saying that this interior is quite a bit more spacious.
Oh, Cole can dance. He can dance in that back seat.
He's got plenty of room. We've got more shoulder room.
Yes.
As well, this center console is bigger, big enough that it is actually a seat.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's actually pretty soft. I'm really happy that our elbows are comfortable.
Yeah.
It's here as well.
It's a good interior. This is plenty roomy and comfortable enough to be a daily driver.
And also GM did something interesting when this generation was unveiled. What, in 2018, is it 2019 trucks? Their wheelbase is a little bit longer than F-150s and Rams, about 147 inches. It almost looks like a limo, you know?
Yeah.
So that could affect its maneuverability, but the wheel, hopefully the wheel steering cut is good enough to make it maneuverable still.
And again, that extra space in the bed is...
And in the back seat.
Is plenty welcome.
Yeah.
So we're not mad about that.
And now this is a large vehicle, right? So this is, you can kind of tell the hood is taller, the tires are larger.
Yeah, so the hood on our Silverado Trail Boss Duramax comes up to...
Just almost your shoulder.
Yeah, about my shoulder.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be the guy to have to work on that truck, on this truck. Or if I was, I would want a topside creeper. I wouldn't want to be trying to lean in.
Yeah, exactly.
And mess with anything. It's,
so
it's definitely
large vehicles. Their wheelbase is a lot larger. The height is taller. They're pretty much just as wide, at least if it's not a dually, right?
Yeah.
As a full size half ton. But these are large vehicles.
Yeah, but also very useful. This is really the workhorse of TFL currently. This is the truck that we're using most often to pull a trailer. If we're not shooting a video about pulling a trailer, if we just have to tow something somewhere, this is our go-to. Even if we're not hauling that heavy, we just sold our F-150 Tremor.
Uh-huh.
There's been plenty of times when whatever we needed to tow was well within the capability of our Tremor, but this just tows better.
It, actually, with a lot of trailers that we pull with this, you don't even notice the trailer, right?
Yeah.
Behind you. That's how capable this giant V8 turbo diesel is. And just the chassis is so, you know, hefty that it just, you don't notice that trailer behind you.
It's a better platform for it, better powertrain for it. You've got better mirrors for it. They're out wider. They give you a much better view of everything going on.
Yeah.
But definitely the star of the show with this truck is what's under the hood. It's a 6.6 Duramax.
Yes.
It's one that we're very familiar with. 470 horsepower, 975 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah.
You can also get a 6.6 gas V8 as an option, but us living here in the mountains, the diesel is worth the extra money, for sure.
And especially the gas V8, the 6.6, you mentioned 401 horsepower. It's a little bit lower than the competitors, what they offer, like the Hemi 6.4 and the Rams, or even
7.3 Godzilla.
Yeah, Ford offers actually two V8s in their heavy-duty trucks, 6.8 and 7.3, the Godzilla engine. So GM gassers maybe are good for kind of runabout heavy-duty trucks, yeah, but not really large crew cabs like this.
Yeah, and if you live in a flatter area, you might not...
It could be good.
Need to pull up steep grades. Not only going up steep grades and having that almost 1,000 pound-feet of torque, which is also behind the other diesels on the market, the Power Stroke and the Cummins are torquier, but this never, Duramax never really feels like it's lacking, I wouldn't say. It's also paired up to a 10-speed, so a lot of gear ratios to choose from. But on the downhill, having an exhaust brake is always hugely helpful.
Oh man, when we do iGauntlet with a heavy-duty truck similar to this or this one, I don't know if we ever have to touch the brake.
Yeah.
Maybe once to set the speed, kind of let the truck know, you know, we want to go 60 or 50, and then exhaust brake and the latest computer controls just control that all the way down without ever touching brakes.
When you're hauling, they work really well. I don't notice the exhaust brake, even if you switch it on, I don't notice it doing a whole lot when you're just driving around the truck itself unladen. On the Rams, for example, if you kick on the exhaust brake every time you let off,
you notice it.
You feel it. This one, not so much. But if you are hauling, which is when you need that exhaust brake the most, it's a huge help.
And we've talked about it. You and I agree that Ram, you could hear their exhaust brake a little bit more. You could feel it working. And I prefer that.
Yeah. Right?
Because you're buying a big truck for the noises it's making and the capability it has, right? So that's always really fun to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you want to talk about the 10 speed at all?
Well, yeah, there is a couple of things happening. So this truck, if we can close the hood, has Allison badging,
yeah,
branding right here, but this is stopping this year. So General Motors and Allison Transmission, kind of they're ending their branding collaboration basically. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people put a lot of weight into that and they'll say, you know, how awful this is, but it could really be a matter of just money, right? Just branding,
yeah,
one thing with a different brand, because
and for a while the Allison name on this has been mostly marketing.
Yeah,
because it's not Allison that directly developed and manufactured this transmission.
Yeah.
They kind of verified it.
Yeah,
I guess
certified.
Yeah. So yes. It's. I don't think it's a huge deal them going away from the Allison branding.
But you know, transmission manufacturer matters in my mind. Like you and I flew to Germany to see a ZF transmission in the Ram.
All the way to Germany. Yeah.
So I think when you have that reputable company that focuses on something like ZF or even Allison or even other transmission manufacturers, I value that.
Yeah.
So I mean, Ford has been building their own transmissions for years as well. So Ram is kind of does this kind of best of breed where the Cummins comes from Cummins and the transmissions come from ZF, right?
Yeah.
Where they're,
which is a good move.
Yeah, I think that's a good move because you have kind of two specialty manufacturers doing a good job with their engines and transmissions. But GM and Ford are in the camp of they want to control everything.
Yeah.
They want to control the engine design and where they build it. They want to control the transmission and where they build it. So GM has been doing that too.
Which is sometimes good, sometimes bad. As far as future products, it kind of remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. These transmissions have also had some issues. We've reported on that as well, these 10 speeds. And so there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to say. And for 2027, for 2027, the government emissions regulation rules are changing.
Yeah.
And we might actually see upgraded diesel engines for next year. There are a lot of rumors. Actually, when I was going to Detroit Auto Show just 3 weeks ago, people were emailing me and telling me, Andre, are you going to see the new Duramax in Detroit? And I was like, well, I haven't heard of anything.
Yeah, so far.
But
no,
we've
news.
Seen them test different diesel engines in the mountains. So there might be new diesels and new DEF regulations and new, I don't know. There's a lot of new stuff happening.
Yeah. So GM trucks, in large part, we're going to see a lot of news coming up pretty soon, which is exciting for us. Yeah. And if there are some major developments, who knows, maybe we'll be swapping around some trucks so that we can do long-term tests with newer product that's coming out.
Yeah, but for now, we're holding on to this Duramax, right?
Yeah,
we're not selling it.
It's super useful. One of the things that makes it useful is that, naturally, this has got the biggest bed of any of the trucks that we're looking at. One thing, Andre, that I got to be honest, that doesn't do a lot for me is the Multi-Pro tailgate.
Yeah, because, I don't know, you and I haven't actually used this feature much.
No.
Day to day.
So far, I have yet to be in a, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I've yet to be in a situation where I've really needed to just open the top middle part of the tailgate. We've also got a tonneau cover on our truck to help keep things secure. We use this on a lot of long road trips cross country. So if we're parking overnight somewhere potentially sketchy outside of a casino in Vegas on our way to California.
Exactly.
That helps a lot.
And it's a power retractable one. Also a Chevy accessory, so you can buy it at several different places. We also, when we bought this truck, this is a Trail Boss off-road model.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it has a fifth wheel and gooseneck hitch feature, which we've used a couple different times, and it's super useful.
Yeah, so it's a nice thing to have. And again, if you're going to be doing that kind of hauling, definitely an HD truck is going to be the best bet.
Dude, almost 7 feet. This is 82 inches. So. And this is their standard bed. This is not an 8-footer.
Exactly.
So this bed is humongous.
So once again, another big upgrade in terms of space here in the bed. And then Andre's going to walk around and see if he can reach.
But I don't know if I can
reach down into the bed.
Reach over.
But it's similar width to the 1500.
Maybe a little bit
another
wider.
Inch and a half wider. Yeah. So well beyond 4 feet.
Yeah. So humongous space. And I would say you could pull any fifth wheel camping trailer with this without worrying about, you know, it coming in contact with the cab of the truck because there's so much bed space here. It's really useful.
And again, three tie downs in every corner, just like the 1500 had. So that's all really useful stuff. So this, unsurprisingly, is the most useful bed of the three. And that, to me, makes a big difference. But the other big difference is going to be in the towing capacity and on this 2500 or even if you step up to a 3500.
And also the payload and towing ability. And talking about the tailgate just one more time, you probably used the side step, right, to get in?
I did.
And I think I find myself using this a lot too, instead of folding down the tailgate like we talked about.
Yeah, well, as tall as this truck is, it's kind of necessary. All three of these trucks are pretty tall.
Yeah.
But this one, not only being an HD and being just a generally large truck, but it's a Trail Boss, so.
It's a little bit higher.
It's a little higher because of that too. There's just no way I'm reaching.
Cole, show that.
Over the bedside and touching the bottom of the bed, it's not gonna happen. And you're 6'3".
Almost, just a little bit under 6'3", and I can't touch the bed.
Yeah, so.
So the bed floor.
Oh, here you go, Andre.
Oh. Is that what it's for?
Let's see, I popped the top of the Multi-Pro tailgate. I still can't.
Well, I can.
Oh, you can. Yeah, there you go. Oh, I got it.
But I thought this was for doing your invoices and stuff.
Right. Sure.
No, actually, I would prefer to do my invoicing inside the cab so my paperwork doesn't fly away.
Yeah.
Probably.
So, I don't know. I'm not a big Multi-Pro tailgate guy.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily be mad.
But now you could see there's a larger hitch here. And really, 2.5-er. Fordall also offers a 3-inch receiver on some of their heavy-duty pickups as well.
Yeah, not a lot of people have 3-inch hitches, though. Well, obviously, Waysafe makes them.
Yeah, Waysafe makes them, and several other companies make them, but it's really, especially with Waysafe, you can see that solid shank. Is that our tonneau cover?
It is, yeah. I feel bad for Cole, who's filming this podcast. That tonneau cover makes a lot of noise.
It's okay. Well, I'm sorry if you're just listening to us. And the wind is picking up, right? And so we have
It's all going well.
We have a lot of challenges. But I was talking about the hitch, you know, having the solid shank, like the Waysafe hitches, especially the aluminum ones, offer that strength because this truck could pull up to 20,000 pounds on the hitch here. There's some versions of them that can do more, like some of them are rated for about 22,000, some are a little bit lower. This Trail Boss, I think, is a little bit lower, just a little bit lower than 20,000. But still, that's a lot of capability.
Yeah, it hasn't been a limitation for us as far as what we need to do as a company. We're generally hauling around vehicles, and it's usually just one at a time, so we're not going beyond that figure.
Yeah, and this 2500 does have leaf springs, and it does have the wrench shock, which is the Rancho.
Yeah.
You've been using Rancho shocks for couple of decades or maybe more. And this tire is actually, I was curious about it when we bought it over a year ago. This is a KO3, right?
It is, yeah. And we've had really, so far, great experience with KO3s. They perform really well.
And I don't know, we'll check how many miles. I think we're close to 19,000, right? Or something, or 18,000. And they have good amount of tread left over, even on this heavy duty.
Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
the heaviest thing that we've pulled with this truck was your F600.
That was one of the heavier, but me and Mr. Truck, our friend Mr. Truck, we pulled a gooseneck with this.
Okay.
So we kind of maxed it out. We pulled, I think, close to 19,000 pounds with that.
Nice. Okay. Remember,
we went to Denver East Machinery, our friend Alan's place, and we put a gooseneck behind it, and then we put a couple of construction equipment machines on the trailer. And you know what? When we squished the suspension all the way down, it was a little harsh because we're hitting bump stops.
Yeah.
So for that type of load, I would recommend a dually, probably.
For sure. You know? Yeah, but even so, we're looking at 3,129 pounds of payload on our truck in particular, which for an off-road trim
and with a diesel too.
And with a diesel, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and GM's been doing this, these stickers as well. So they do the towing, some of the towing numbers on the silver sticker in the door, on their half tons and their heavy duty trucks. So they've been doing that for several years, and it's also very helpful to know specifically this type of truck, what capability does it have.
Yeah, it's all really good information. And I like the way that we spec'd out this truck in particular too, because if we look at the interior, it's kind of a nice balance.
And it's built in Flint, Michigan.
Built in Flint.
So all three of these trucks are USA made, which is really good.
Yeah, and I like about this truck that we still have physical switches for four-wheel drive controls and for the headlights.
Four low.
Yeah, and we have four low, thank God.
Yeah.
So that's all really nice stuff. And the interior on this truck is kind of a good balance of being comfortable. It's got nice features, but it's not over the top. They're not trying to turn this into some luxury kind of thing. It's still a truck. It still feels like it's just designed to work, but I think it's pretty comfortable. Most of these trucks, kind of all three of them, still have relatively stiff seats, although maybe the cloth seats in that 1500
are a little softer.
A little softer.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, because we've complained about kind of a stiff sitting surface in a lot of GM trucks. And the rear seat room is tremendous.
Yeah.
Maybe even larger than a half ton. I mean, it's insanely large space. And also the dash here, looks almost identical to that 1500, right?
Yeah, it does. It's a very similar layout. If you go between one and the other, you're going to know exactly where everything is. Once again, physical climate controls. This one, like with the 1500, is just heated seats, no ventilation, still a heated steering wheel. So you've still got same style column shifter. So there's a lot more really similarities than differences. This truck is spec'd a little bit nicer, so it's not a cloth seat. There are buckets here in the front, so we don't have six seating, which I don't know. I kind of like having the bench seat. I think it's useful, but it's not a must.
And also when you have the bench seat option, this console part doesn't exist, and you can kind of swing your knee or have your knee kind of hang down a little bit more. Some people appreciate that. We have, I don't know if you could see that, Cole, but we have almost 18,000 miles on this truck. And I think we've owned it for like 15 months, maybe. So we do use it quite a lot.
Yeah, and it makes cross-country trips. Every time we need to pull a trailer somewhere, whether we're going to Moab, going to California, all over the place, this truck is the one that's doing it. Trailer Brake Controller, also.
Same place.
Same location.
And this is the trailering app that I was mentioning in the 1500 truck, the RST that didn't quite have the same. You can track total miles with a certain trailer. I mean, this says a lot. Almost 11,000 miles of towing just with one trailer.
Yeah, so more than half.
And then you can see your MPG for that trailer. And you can also, looking at that number, you kind of know how many miles your trailer did. So you can maintain its tires, wheel bearings, all that stuff.
Yeah, you get a lot more information, which is pretty nice. That is cool to see as well, that
how many miles
this truck gets used, like we said, to pull trailers.
So we have 11,000 pound trailer that we sometimes used on the Ike, about 264 miles using that. And then we have, let's see, there's also many other features you could have. So we have, oh, that gooseneck that Mr. Truck and I pulled.
Mm-hmm.
We have a separate setting for that as well. We didn't go very far, and we got about 8.2 MPG.
Yeah, which all things considered is not too bad. So yeah. This truck, I think, is a really good example of a mid-grade deal where you get a lot of the features you want and kind of need to have, but not a ton of extra stuff. Like the camera views on this truck as well. It gives you a lot of options to look around, especially because, you know, this is technically, like we said, an off-road trim. Having those cameras is pretty useful, because if we look out at the windshield, I can't see anything until it's about 20 feet in front of me.
Yeah.
On the ground, at least.
Yeah, I know. I mean, these trucks are very tall, so having that feature is very, very helpful.
Yeah, so looking over the hood on the HD is going to be a lot less visibility than the other two.
Exactly. And I just found the window sticker here. The window sticker was 78,500. And this was over a year ago. This is a 2025 model. And we got a slight discount. I believe it was like $4,000 or $5,000 below this when we purchased it. So like low 70s. Mm-hmm. That's what we paid. But like you said, with the some of the comfort features and the diesel engine, that's a lot of value.
Well, because the diesel option alone is how much?
Well, that's like 10 or 11 grand. Actually,
yeah.
Well, the engine alone is $9,500. But you usually also have to, they upcharge you for the operated transmission usually.
Yeah.
As well. So, and there's many other options, like the Trail Bus package was about $3,400 on this particular one.
Yeah, things like that jacked up the price quite a bit, because those other two trucks are base engines. So they're not necessarily comparable, you know.
So if those are standard engines. If you subtracted 10 grand for the diesel here and had that gas V8 in here, and you subtracted the Trail Bus package, you could get almost closer to 57 grand.
Yeah.
Like we saw on that Canyon and the other truck.
Exactly. So it depends on what you're going to use the truck for. We're definitely big fans of having the diesel powertrain.
Yeah.
Fuel economy, torque, towing capability. It makes a pretty big difference.
Exactly. So let's go outside and kind of wrap this up, because we still need to decide like which truck to buy.
Yeah. I think I would wager, at least.
Yeah.
For the majority of people, some version of the 1500 is going to make the most sense, and that's represented in the sales figures.
Yeah.
Because they sell tons of 1500s.
In fact, many.
Between Chevy and GMC brands combined, they sell more than Ford does of the F-150.
Yeah.
So these trucks are hugely popular, and that's part of the reason as well that there's so many options for these.
Exactly.
You can get them two-wheel drive. Like you said, you could get a smaller cab and a longer bed. You could get an off-road trim. You can get diesel. You can get gas, 8-cylinder, 4-cylinder. So many different ways you could configure one of these.
Exactly. And like if you were living in the area and having a space to park your truck indoors is important, the midsize is pretty much almost the only way you could do, unless you have a custom home with a very large space garage. Yeah. So a lot of people who have that garage need, maybe it snows a lot where you live, upstate New York.
Well, and if you want the best off-road truck, the midsize is going to be the best option.
Yeah, because it's smaller. You have triple lockers, front, you know, rear and middle.
And if you don't care so much about a truck being a great daily driver, but you need it to do the most amount of work, HD is going to be the way to go.
Yeah, personally speaking, like I have a 6,000 pound boat trailer that I haul in the summer, right? So I know you've been pushing me towards, you know, the diesel Cummins Power Wagon and other trucks. That's just a lot of truck for me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Which is fair.
Just personally speaking.
Yeah.
I do want the crew version because, you know, I have two kids, even though my daughter is kind of going
and
to college.
Dog.
Yeah, and a small pooch.
Yeah.
A small dog. So a crew cab truck is important to me, but a heavy duty is just too much, even though I love the diesel.
But you might need the bench seat so you can have you, the wife, and the dog up front.
Yes. Because he wants to be close to us, right?
Yeah.
He always wants to be there.
That's kind of the dream.
So I'm still leaning towards a half ton. So full size is kind of where my thinking comes. Because I've tried this, right? I've tried the midsize truck.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, the Colorado Trail Boss. My son is 6'2".
Yeah.
You know, he's 15 years old. So he was struggling to get in the back seat.
His knees in his chest.
Yeah, so he, even though he's pretty flexible, but anyways, so a midsize truck is maybe too small for me now.
Yeah.
So I think half ton is kind of where it's at as far as I'm concerned.
It makes sense. Well, that still doesn't give us too good of an indication of exactly what truck you're going to get.
No, because I haven't decided.
But I have a feeling you're maybe honing in on it.
Well, you know what? After talking to you about the 3-liter Duramax, that could be... Gears are turning,
yeah. Yes.
Because that offers really great torque, lots of towing capability. And my wife and I, you know, we go to Albuquerque a lot from Denver, and we go to like Durango and Farmington, which is like 400 miles, 500 miles stints. And that Duramax would eat that up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that Duramax would be excellent.
Oh, it's great on a road trip.
For that. So I could be almost leaning that way.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see over time what you end up going toward. I agree with you. I think that the 1500s, my heart is always with the HDs.
Yeah,
just totally. Because I love pulling trailers with those. And that's what we do with these trucks most at work. But the 1500 is probably
for most people. Yeah.
For most people, it makes the most sense.
Exactly. Well, let us know what you think in the comments below. Thanks for joining us once again. I think we kind of got lucky with the weather. I mean, it was a little bit windy.
It definitely could have been windier.
And we had special guests. We had two bees show up on our podcast.
Two bees, two Chevys, one GMC.
Yes. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, next week and go from there.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it, whether you're committed to a thru-hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more. It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.